Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are certainly happy to see each and every one of your smiling faces here this day. A little chilly outside, but that's got to be expected this time of year. I want to identify everybody that's up here. Caleb is on my right. Caleb Postlewaite, a priest, and Joe Killinger, a priest. And he's going to be there, and Richard Adams is going to be serving in this part. And then Dan Shear is going to bring a prayer of preparation. And I'm the presiding officer of this particular service, Vernon Pearson, an elder. We have Elder Paul Williams over here on my left, and Larry Ellis, a priest, and Gary Fry, a priest, and Josiah Bates is a priest. But we had just a little technical problem. We had one that could not be here this morning, and we had one show up that I didn't expect to be here because he's generally working out of town. But Gary walked in this morning, so we just put him in the place of Mike Hancock. But we're certainly glad to be here, and we have a lot to look forward to as we prepare our hearts and our minds for this service. As as we've done this, we'll have the offertory at this time.
As a reminder, being it's first Sunday, Communion Sunday, of course, all monies not designated will go to Oblation Fund. Would you bow? Dear Lord, we ask you to watch over us and watch over your church. Watch over this money as it's given from the heart and guide it through your church. In Jesus' name we pray.
We'll open our service using hymn number 25. Can we stand? Thank you.
fingers, Heavenly Father. I would ask that you would join us today as we gather around your table as a family to partake of this meal that you have prepared for us. Lord, please prepare our hearts to receive an outpouring of your Spirit, and that we might hold in remembrance today the sacrifice that you and your Son have made, that we might be able to repent of our sins and come unto you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, I pray, amen.
We'll remain seated and sing hymn number 269, O Lord, How Can It Be? Challenge this morning before us as we enter into this service of remembrance. I know that each and every one of us have come here this morning. I hope we have came in an attitude of prayer and supplication, trying to draw closer to our Heavenly Father. I have a few, I'm going to read a little portion of chapter 7 in the Book of Mormon of Moroni. So be prepared if you want to follow along with that in just a little short while. I'll be reading that, one page of it. But I want to say a few things first. A friend of mine, a guy I knew pretty well, I wasn't a great friend, but I was pretty well acquainted with him, a guy named Henry Schaefer. And we were in a hospital, I think, in an emergency. We was in the ICU waiting room for my mother-in-law. She was having health problems. I think she was probably dying, if I remember right now. But anyway, Henry Schaefer come a-walking by, and there must have been at least 20 people in that area there where we were sitting, and not near all of them were part of our families. And he seen my family and her family, my wife's family, sitting there, and he came over and started talking. And it wasn't but very, very few minutes, and he had the attention of everybody in that particular area. This is a challenge that each and every one of us have, to put ourselves in tune with our Heavenly Father so that when we speak, people listen. We had a communion service at Atherton here a few years ago now. And in the preparation talk, the suggestion was made that we really get our hearts in the right place to reach forth and partake that communion. And whatever was said really went to this one young man's heart. And he called me up that afternoon. He said, "I want you to know I could had barely had the strength to reach up and take communion today because of my unworthiness. I know probably each and every one of us are unworthy, but we're striving to become worthy. And our desires is to be, to reach that point." And in the Book of Mormon, I want to read that part of it. But today we are having a brother with us who was just baptized last Saturday night. And Brother Glenn Hughes. In the talk that Nathan gave to that, he brought out about the people of back in around shortly after Abinadi's time, and whether Alma and Helam, as his name was, went out to be baptized, and they both immersed themselves in the water because of there was no authority at that particular time to baptize. And that's where they received the authority, and Alma, you know, wrote, him and his son wrote a lot of the Book of Mormon, and about a third of the Book of Mormon probably is the Book of Alma, or Meg. It's truly a remarkable book if we put our acts into reading of it. Yesterday at our priesthood meeting, Chuck Perry made the statement that if we would come closer to our Heavenly Father, we could be able to see through the veil better to prepare ourselves for what's ahead of us. And we would have a lot more enthusiasm in bearing our testimony to others today and trying to live our lives what we should do so we can be better prepared to be over there and doing what will happen over there. And then just to throw out, D.R. Hughes came back to his wife and told her, he said, "I am now teaching the pureness of the gospel." And I thought that was a tremendous, his wife bore that testimony to us. But anyway, when we read it, while the communion is being served, I want us to open our hymnals to hymn number 555, which is our closing prayer and hymn. We will have a closing prayer, but I want, that's three verses, or three, just three line hymn, and it is a prayer, and it'll be a closing prayer besides the benediction which we will have. So I'm going to turn now to Helaman here, or to Moroni, and read what I have there. I'm going to start about verse 4, or I'll start at verse 3. "Wherefore I speak unto you that you are of the church, who are the peaceable followers of Christ, and that have obtained a sufficient hope by which ye can enter into the rest of the Lord from this time henceforth until ye shall rest with him in heaven. And now, my brethren, I judge these things of you because of your peaceable walk with the children of men. For I remember the word of God, which saith, By their works ye shall know them. For if their works be good, then they are good also. For behold, God hath said, A man being evil cannot do that which is good. For if he offereth a gift or a prayer unto God, except he shall do it with real intent, it profit him nothing. For behold, it is not counted unto him for righteousness, if grudgingly." Now jump the line. "Behold, if a man being evil giveth a gift, he doeth it grudgingly. Wherefore, it counteth him nothing unto him, save he had retained the gift. Wherefore, he is counted evil before God. And likewise also it is counted evil unto a man, if he shall pray, and not with real intent of heart. Yea, and it profit him nothing. For God receiveth not none such. Wherefore a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. For behold, a bitter fountain cannot bring forth good water, neither can a good fountain bring forth bitter water. Wherefore, a man being a servant of the devil cannot follow Christ. And if he follow Christ, he cannot be a servant of the devil. Wherefore, all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good, and to love God, and to serve him, is inspired of God. Wherefore, take heed, my beloved brethren, that ye do not judge that which is evil to be of God, or that which is of good and of God to be evil. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil, and the way ye judge is as plain as ye may know with a perfect knowledge, as the daylight is from dark night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given unto every man, that they may know good from evil. Wherefore I show unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and persuadeth to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of God. Wherefore ye may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God. But whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil and believeth not in God or in Christ and deny him and serve not God, then ye may know with a perfect knowledge that it is not of the devil. For after this manner doth the devil work, for he persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one. Neither does his angels, neither do they who subject themselves unto him. And now, my brethren, seeing that ye know that the light by which ye may judge, which light is the light of Christ, see that ye do not judge wrongfully, for that with the same judgment which ye judge, ye shall also be judged. Wherefore I beseech you, brethren, that ye should search diligently the light of Christ, that ye may know good from evil, and if ye will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ. I chose to read this because I didn't figure I could say it in a way that Moroni said. Or his dad wrote it. His dad said it, and Moroni wrote it. So this time we will prepare for the communion.
Shall we pray? Almighty and eternal Heavenly Father, Father, it is with joy that we have this opportunity together as a group of thy children, even at this time, on this special occasion, to remember the covenant which we made to thee, and even that commitment we made in the waters of baptism, to serve thee and to do those things you've asked us to do, that we might have your Spirit to be with us. And Father, we know that your Spirit has blessed us already this day through the services preceding this, that you've heard the testimonies and you've heard the prayers, those offered vocally and those silently. And you've blessed us with an outpouring of your Spirit. Father, I would pray that your Spirit would continue to rain down upon us. Even as the spring rains come and it cleanses the earth, it revives the earth, and it refreshes it, may your Spirit rain down upon us that we might be cleansed, revived, and refreshed. Father, I'm reminded of the time when you sent your Son even to this continent, and he shared in the sacrament with those inhabitants. And as they reached forth, it is recorded that they were filled to overflowing. Father, may we recognize that that promise is even given unto us, that through our preparations and through our reaching forth and partaking of that broken body and spilt blood of thy Son, that we too might be filled to overflowing. Father, we know that this day in which we live, there are many challenges before us. We know that every morning we wake up, it's a different world. We see the turmoil going on in the world, and we know that these are the latter days. And it is your desire to reach out to your people, that they might be prepared for that day, that they might be refreshed and knowing that you are in charge. And those things and events that are taking place are those only prophesied in your scriptures. Those signs that were given unto us that we might recognize the day in which we live. And the promises that are contained in them. May we reflect upon those promises even this day. As we reach forth, may it be our desire to have that Spirit to give us the strength to meet the challenges of the days that lie ahead of us. That we might be that people you would desire for us to be. That we might be that example and that light into a dark world. So, Father, I pray for this body as they unite together in oneness. And as they reach forth individually and collectively, may your Spirit rain down upon them. And bless them, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
May we kneel as far as possible in prayer. Oh God, our eternal Father, we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to all souls who take of it, and that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon his name thy Son, and always remember in to keep the commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit with them. Amen.
Thank you. this time, would you renew as fast as possible? Oh God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, who blessed and sanctify this wine for the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they always remember him and do that they may have his Spirit to believe of him. Amen.
Good morning.
seems like I was just here not too long ago, so lots of practice. Today, I was actually told Kathy last night I had something else that I was working on, and if this has ever happened to you, in the process of working on something, you come across something else, and then all of a sudden you start going down that track, and so what I ended up doing is I ended up kind of having two different thoughts for today, but I'm going to focus on one. And the one thought that I had for today was I've always had a curiosity about the difference between Passover and the Lord's Supper. Because the scriptures, if you just kind of look at them, you can kind of see that they seem to be kind of interrelated. So what I'd like to do is just kind of take us for a few minutes onto a little journey together as we talk about the Passover and the Lord's Supper. And come up with, hopefully, will be some interesting information that we can all benefit from. So, the beginning, before I start, I'd like to read a verse from Genesis chapter 6, verses 61 through 65, for those who would like to follow along. Therefore I give unto you a commandment, to teach these things freely unto your children, saying that by reason of transgression cometh the fall, which fall bringeth death. And insomuch as you were born into the world by water and blood and the Spirit, which I have made, and so become of dust a living soul, even so you must be born again into the kingdom of heaven, and of water and of Spirit, and be cleansed by blood, even the blood of mine only begotten, that ye may be sanctified from all sin, and enjoy the words of eternal life in this world, and eternal life in the world to come, even immortal glory. For by the water you keep the commandments, by the Spirit you are justified, and by the blood you are sanctified. Therefore it is given to abide in you the record of heaven, the Comforter, the peaceable things of immortal glory, the truth of all things, that which quickeneth all things, which maketh alive all things, that which knoweth all things and hath all power according to wisdom, mercy, truth, justice, and judgment. And now, behold, I say unto you that this is a plan of salvation unto all men, through the blood of mine only begotten, who shall come in the meridian of time. So with that scripture background, there's a verse in Matthew 26 that I'm going to just read one verse of, and then we're going to kind of get into that a little bit more. But there's one verse in Matthew 26 that basically states, in an introductory type of phrase, "Now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came unto Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?" Well, I came across that word Passover, and I thought, well, it'd be interesting to get a little background as to what the Passover is about. You hear, especially as we're getting into March, April time frame, we're getting into thinking about Easter and spring. And so the Passover is going to become more predominant in Jewish circles, and definitely the Old Testament focuses a number of references to the Passover. So in order to get an idea of the Passover, we need to go back together into Exodus chapter 12. So if you'd like to go with me there, we're going to start at verse 1. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. This is where the Passover was instituted. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, That in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two sides posts, and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you, when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial.
And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast for an ordinance forever. And it shall come to pass that when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children say unto you, What mean ye by this service? Ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshipped. So with that background, let's go back to the scripture that we referenced in Matthew 26. That said, starting at verse 13 in Matthew 26, On the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came unto Jesus, saying, Where wilt thou that we shall prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. Now we're going to skip to verse 22. And as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and brake it, and blessed it, and gave unto the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is a remembrance of my body, which I give a ransom for you. And he took a cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink, ye all of it, for this is a remembrance of my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for as many as shall believe on my name for the remissions of sin. And I give unto you a commandment that ye shall observe to do these things which ye have seen me do, and bear record of me even unto the end. Very interesting that one of the things that I didn't realize as I was looking at this. Many times as I go and do some scripture study, you can look at something many times, but then when you look at it under a different light or a different thought, the Lord reveals more light and truth, as it says in the hymn. Well, one of the things that became very interesting is that this particular meal that started out to be a Passover, the Lord changed the focus of it from remembering a historical event to remembering the sacrifice that he was making. So the focus went from remember my body and my blood versus remembering a historical event that occurred in Jewish, generations ago. So we had a situation where the Lord was recognizing that the remembrance going forward would be of my body and of my blood, and if you recall, the focus no longer was in remembrance of the Egyptians, of the Israelites leaving Egypt. The focus at that point was on the goat, the lamb, without blemish, without spot, which we know was Jesus Christ. So we have what we call the Lord's Supper that took place on what we would call Thursday night, which consisted of bread and grape juice, but no roasted lamb. Later that very same day, in the timing of the Jewish time frame, in the afternoon, the Passover lamb was to be slain. That the Passover slain, and then there's a statement here saying that the Passover lamb was to be slain in the afternoon on the 14th of what they call a Nisan, can be confirmed in Exodus. Nisan is a name of the first month of the Jewish calendar in the spring when Passover occurs. The length of Nisan is 30 days, and I believe it's equivalent to our calendar of being March and April, and there are 13 months, each one having a name on the Jewish calendar. The Jewish historian Josephus confirms that the Passover lamb, and this is something I didn't understand or know, but the Jewish historian confirmed that the Passover lamb that was slain was usually slain from the 9th hour to the 11th hour, being from, in their time frame, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Therefore, he's saying that the two events, the timing of the killing of the Passover lamb the one without blemish, as recorded in Exodus 12, and the death of Jesus, also a lamb without blemish and without spot, coincided precisely on the same time on the afternoon of the 14th of Nisan, the Lord's Passover. I didn't know that, you know, and it's just amazing that the Lord, if you look and you're able to recognize that the Lord has many things that he would bring to our attention if we would look. And it brought back to me a verse of Genesis 6:66, which says, "Behold, all things have their likeness, and all things are created and made to bear record of me, both things which are temporal and things which are spiritual, things which are in the heavens above and the things which are in the earth, and things which are in the earth and things which are under the earth, both above and beneath, all things bear record of me." Isn't that beautiful? So we have a situation where even the timing, the exact timing of his death was under the Lord's control and majesty. Well, there are so many things that came up as part of that revealment for me that regarding the Passover. And so then I started to do a little bit of other research. And I thought, well, it's kind of interesting, having looked at the Book of Mormon quite a bit, I was thinking, gosh, I haven't seen the word Passover in the Book of Mormon. I'm kind of curious as to what happened there. So I went and did a search, scripture search, and it was easier for me to do a computer search, since that's what I do for a living. And so I looked up Passover in the Old Testament, looked up Passover in the New Testament, and I thought it was interesting because the it was no surprise to many of us that we found that the Passover was mentioned in the Old Testament 54 times. Well, that kind of makes sense. And then I found also that the Passover was mentioned 27 times in the New Testament, for a total of 81 times in the Bible. But then I went to look up Passover as a word in the Book of Mormon, and I did not find it at all. Not once mentioned. Well, I thought that's kind of, I think this is kind of interesting when you start looking into these type of things, because we know that the Book of Mormon focuses on their Jewish history. But basically, we know also that the Book of Mormon states that the law of Moses had become dead unto the Nephites, which means that they kept the law of Moses, but they had been taught of the coming of Christ, and to know to focus upon him, and that they knew that it was going to be by Jesus Christ that they were to have their salvation, and not through the law itself. So they had transcended that, for they were more interested in the fundamental aspects of their relationship to God. The Book of Mormon really only says enough about the law of Moses and the traditions of the Jews to let us know that that played a traditional role in their history, but their focus was always looking forward to the time of Christ, recognizing that the law of Moses was symbolic of what Genesis 6:66 says, that it was symbolic of those things which were to come. And as we look at the scriptures in Genesis, we see that all things were made for the purpose for the Lord to come to offer this sacrifice, to be able, that we know that the earth and all the scriptures from the foundation of the world was established for the time in which the Lord would come and offer this sacrifice. So I thought that was very interesting. And if other people have considerations and research that they've done regarding the Book of Mormon related to not, I guess I would have expected to have seen the Passover because of the Jewish tradition, and because the Lord said it was very important for them to keep the this for the generations. I was somewhat surprised that I didn't see the word Passover in the Book of Mormon. So I found that to be a very much interest, and really helps me to recognize, however, that the Book of Mormon people always looked forward to the coming of Christ. They saw the book, they saw the law of Moses for what it was, that it was a preparatory gospel, but they knew that their focus was not on the law of Moses for salvation, it was on Jesus Christ. So I just have a couple of scriptures here that I would just like to kind of end our time with here. Some of these, I'll just kind of give you the reference, but we'll just kind of run through them. This one is Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall be many be made righteous. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And then in verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of the devils. And of course, the Lord always says, you know, you can't serve two masters, right? That's basically what it comes right down to. You cannot serve one and serve the other. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve, according to what Joshua had mentioned. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 through 14. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, in saying, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood he entered in one of the holy places, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish, without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And then in Hebrews chapter 10 through 17, by which we are sanctified through the offering once of the body of Jesus Christ, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth to reign until all his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after all that he has said before, this is a covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Well, I hope that our little brief journey, as we've been able to talk about the Passover and the purpose in which we've come here today, you know, one of the things that this is, I think we ought to label this a hope service, because when you read that, when you read of what the Lord has done for us, it's a remembrance that the Lord gives us hope. The Lord recognizes the amount of that he will go through to see that we have what we need. And I told Kathy, we were kind of raising goats, and we had a doe that had two young boys that one is having a real tough time getting up and walking around, and we're treating it like with kid. We're basically, I think we put diapers on it if we had to. We're just doing all kinds of things to, you know, to, you feel sorry naturally for that which can't really, which is disabled, and it's just really, we've spent so much time and care trying to nurse this little one to health. And I told Kathy, well, it's interesting, because if we look at the amount of care that we have for this little one, just think of the love that Jesus has. And it makes sense in a very small way for us to recognize why he would go to the degree that he would go through to see that each of us, as I look at that little goat kid and I see the disability he has, I recognize the disability in me. And so I can see that as we're not trying to give up on this little one, the Lord never gave up on me or you. Isn't that beautiful? So it's wonderful that we're able to be in this service of hope, recognizing that we have an opportunity no longer to remember a historical event, but to remember a remembrance of body and blood.
I want to thank each and every one who has participated in this service this morning, to the beautiful music and from our women back there, my brothers up here on the front row with me. We'll use our hymn number 555 for our closing. But first we're going to have a prayer that I just forgot. But anyway, Josiah.
If you'll bow with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this glorious day that you've given to us, Lord, and I thank you for the many wonderful blessings that you've given to us. I thank you for the words that my brother brought this morning, Lord. And I thank you for your spirit being with him. And I thank you for your spirit attending us today in this holy place, Lord. I pray that as we leave this place, that we might continue to follow after you, that your spirit would guide and direct us in all the paths that we should take, Lord, that we would seek first to build up your kingdom and to share your love with all those that are around us, that we might lift them up to you, the broken and the weak-hearted, Lord, that they might become whole again in your spirit and your love. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll remain seated in singing this. 555. Good Lord, watch over each and every one of us in the coming days. God bless each of you. Thank you for being here.